Okay, great. So yeah, welcome to the FCC LLP meeting. And I have one slide of news and then right. And then we can get into the practice talks. So, right, today that's what we will do in this meeting to practice a bit for Annecy. That's next week. And also today is the physics and performance meeting at 3 p.m. CERN time. Also, thank you all for joining this special meeting at an unusual time and awkward time. It's probably lunchtime for a lot of us, but this is was the best time that most people could join. So thanks for that. You know about the workshop next week. Oh, and also I got an email from Jan about filling out a quick survey on FCC analysis tools that I think he's going to use as input for a discussion or bit of a hands-on session. I wasn't quite clear at Annecy, so it doesn't take very long, but it's very like practical on using these tools. So I think it will help them get a better overview of our needs and what we're using at the moment. So that's all I had. Any other news or questions on that? Okay. Cool. Then I will share my presentation for next week. So maybe someone can time me if you don't mind. Can someone volunteer?
I can time you.
Thanks. Then I can time you. Yeah, so I have a plenary talk. I think it's on Thursday next week, so I still actually have a week and a half to fix things. And I'm sorry if my slides end up being in a little, I hope they're in kind of decent shape, but I think they're not as nice as I could make them. So hopefully in the next week and a half, I can improve also with your comments today. So thanks a lot. Right. So I think I will just jump in. So right, thanks a lot for having me. I will be talking about direct searches for beyond the standard model physics at the FCCEE. So as you all know, of course, there are many unanswered questions in physics, in particle physics. For example, we don't really understand the particle nature of dark matter. We don't know how to incorporate gravity into a consistent particle theory. We don't know why neutrinos have mass or why there's more matter than antimatter in the universe. And future colliders, I think, provide us with a unique opportunity to learn more about answering these questions and learn more about how nature works. And in particular, a collider is unique because there's really no other way to explore the Higgs boson further. So, future colliders are really at the cutting edge of scientific and technological frontiers and therefore absolutely necessary. Now, of course, this is a workshop on the FCC, so you all know a lot about the FCC, and I won't belabor the point, but just to remind you that along with being a frontier Higgs top electroweak and flavor factory, the FCC is also a place where we can directly discover new physics. And that's what I will be talking about today. So I borrowed this slide about the overall FCC physics program from Christophe Grosjean, and I think it nicely illustrates that the sort of different aspects of the physics program that we're interested in for the FCCEE. So there's, in particular, there's the intensity frontier, and one aspect of that is searches for new physics. Fairly light new physics like axion-like particles, dark photons, or heavy neutral leptons. And in particular, for all of these models and more, they can sometimes these particles can be long-lived in certain areas of the phase space. Of course, we hear about the whole rest of the FCC physics program during the rest of this workshop, so I won't go into that. But I wanted to give a little bit of special mention to long-lived particles because because they've been less addressed historically. So just to say quickly that particles in the standard model span a wide range of lifetimes, from really particles with really short lifetimes, like the Z boson on the top quark, all the way up to particles that we assume to be stable, like the proton. So then it stands to reason that beyond the standard model, new phenomena should have a wide range of lifetimes as well. But conventional searches, for example, now at the LHC, are usually for promptly decaying particles with C tau, speed of light times the lifetime of orders of millimeters or less. So in addition to promptly decaying particles, we also need to look for new particles with long lifetimes. And there's a variety of types of searches you can do for long-lived particles. You can look for the long-lived particle itself, or you can look for its displaced decays within the detector. And so we've been doing this now for a while, and at the LHC, at least the main detectors and triggers and offline reconstruction aren't really designed for this type of signature, for example, a displaced decay. So there's actually a real big opportunity to do something different for these types of searches in particular at the FCC, so much that we can design these general purpose detectors with long-lived particles in mind from the get-go. So just to say that there's been a lot of work that's gone on in the BSM group, and in particular in the context of long-lived particles. There's been a number of master students working on long-lived particles. Many of the theses are done or in progress. And for snow mass, we had a LOI as well as a white paper on long-lived particles. I'd say in general, the BSM group is focusing on three physics cases: heavy neutral leptons or HNLs, axion-like particles or ALPS, and beyond the standard model, Higgs. So what I was going to do in this talk is to give you an overview of what's going on in the BSM FCC group and touch upon each of these physics cases while doing so. But in general, our workflow is to use the sort of official analysis tools and framework developed for the FCC. So this is the FCC analysis software that are which we use to analyze centrally produced EDM-4 HEP samples, usually with the IDEA detector in Delphi's, although some signal samples have been produced privately. And, you know, along with the official tools, we've developed a dedicated tutorial for long-lived particle studies in particular, so people can build off of that as well. I think in general, in the group, we're trying to be as realistic as possible and use as high statistics background samples and move away from more generator level only studies and try to get to realistic models of the detector. Okay, so let me jump into the first physics case, which is heavy neutral leptons. So as you probably know, HNLs are Dirac or Marana sterile neutrinos with very small mixing with the active neutrinos. And they are interesting because they could provide answers to some open questions of the standard model, like why neutrinos have masses, the baryon antibaryon asymmetry, and dark matter. In particular, if you're thinking about long-lived heavy neutral leptons, those can occur when the coupling and masses are small. And this is a plot that we produced on heavy neutral leptons, showing the reach of the FCC at the Terra Z run. We produced this for snow mass. So in the next slides, I'll go into briefly giving you an introduction to the different studies that are going on in the context of heavy neutral leptons. But the thing that I won't mention is that we are actually also, there's also a group studying HNLs in the CLD design. So you can follow up with Jeremy and Gail if you're interested in that. So first, in the context of snow mass, we studied the case where you have the Z pole run and then a heavy neutral lepton is produced in association with a regular neutrino, and then that HNL decays, and the final state is two electrons and a neutrino. So there's two diagrams that will give you that. In one case with an off shell W boson, and one with an off shell Z boson. This plot shows you sort of the final results that we got in the context of snow mass, and compares them with a theory prediction from this paper. So this the theory prediction was for all decay modes of the HNLs, but the contours that you show here. We're showing here in blue and yellow are just for the, you know, this decay mode to including electrons. So it's not completely an apples to apples comparison, but it was basically, you know, a first start. Also around the time of actually for snow mass as well, we also studied how we could distinguish between Dirac or Majorana flavors of HNLs. So Dirac HNLs would be LNC only, but Majorana would be LNC and LNV. And this difference would give you different kinematic distributions. For example, you would get differences in the lifetime of the HNL. So you can see the Majorana particles are solid lines and Dirac are dotted lines. And so you can compare them for three different mass points with a fixed value of the coupling. So you see the differences in these distributions. Would also be differences in the opening angle between the two electrons in the final state, or sorry, the electron positron in the final state. So these plots show you that the cosine of that angle at the gen level and at the reconstructed level. And again, if you compare the solid lines with the dotted lines, you get the difference between Majorana and Dirac particles. So in addition to that, we've moved on and are also studying other final states. For example, when the heavy neutral lepton decays and gives you an electron, and then the W boson decays to two quarks. So it's the EJJ final state. So what we've done is to first perform a cut and count study, and then in parallel produce a study using a BDT. So this is GX boost with TMVA. And this plot on the right shows you the difference in the results with these two methods. So the cut and count two sigma band is shown in the red line, and you can see the improvement that you get in the pink line when you use the BDT. So I think this was really great to see. This is the first use of machine learning in long-lived particles at the FCC, in the FCC group that I've seen. And you see the nice improvement in the limits, especially here at high HNL mass. And this is just the beginning of this study. There's more to come here. So the authors are working on adding discriminating variables to the BDT, or instead of a BDT, using a deep neural network. And one thing they also need is better Monte Carlo statistics. So that's the future of this study. We also have a study where the HNL is now decaying to the mu JJ final state. So as shown in this Feynman diagram here. This is nice because this analysis is targeting two different regions. One where you have a prompt decay of the HNL, and this is particularly relevant at high mass, for example, basically HNL mass greater than about 50 GeV. And the second analysis studies when the HNL is long-lived, and this is more relevant for low mass. And there's an explicit requirement to make the muon in the final state displaced. And the plot on the right shows you basically kind of quick study to show you the complementarity between these different cases. So the red line shows you when you have the results when you have a prompt decay. And the black and the blue lines show you two different scenarios for long-lived decays. And you see how they can nicely be complementary and cover a wide range of the phase space and the coupling mass plane. So for this study, these are the results in the prompt prompt sort of sub-analysis and in the long-lived analysis. So you can see that we're ruling out large areas of the phase space. Right. So then let me move on to the second physics case, talking about axion-like particles. So these are pseudoscalars and models with spontaneously broken global symmetries that can be weakly coupled to the dark sector. And in particular, you can get long-lived ALPs when the couplings and mass are small. And you can see that the FCC, which is shown in pink here, that orders of magnitude of parameter space are accessible. And it would be particularly interesting to look at final states with at least one photon. And in particular, recently there's been a search a study done for looking for ALPs that are produced in E plus E minus collisions and via photon fusion. So you get two photons coming in and producing the ALP, then decay to two photons. So the irreducible background in this case is the light by light continuum. And this study is put out in this paper. And for now is only using Delphi's, so sort of a standalone Delphi's, but not yet the full EDM, 4HEP and FCC analyses machinery. What you can see is a plot on the left showing one of the discriminating variables. So you can see the light by light background is fairly flat and over the full range of A-phi gamma-gamma, whereas the different signal samples are pushed more and more towards values of one. And the results are shown in the coupling mass plane on the right. So the different ALPs photon fusion via photon fusion are shown in the different colors here, purple, green, red and blue for different energies. And you compare that with yellow, the part in yellow that shows the case where a photon is produced in association with the ALP, and that can target lower masses. Right, and if this is interesting, you can see Patricia's talk in the parallel session for more on this study. And then moving on to the third physics case. So here, the third case that I would say that we're covering in the BSM group is BSM Higgs. And in particular, first I'll start with exotic Higgs decays to long-lived particles. So in particular, Higgs bosons, the standard model Higgs bosons, could undergo exotic decays to scalars that could be long-lived. Basically, a new scalar could be a portal between the standard model and the HAHM dark sector. And for sufficiently small mixing, the scalar can be long-lived. So this study is targeting the ZH stage, so 240 GeV collision energy. And what you get is E plus E minus going to giving you a Z and a Higgs boson, and the Higgs decays to these long-lived scalars and gives you four Bs in the final state, and the Z will give you two electrons or two muons. And that, I mean, this is the case that's being studied. So basically, at the experimental signature would be two displaced vertices coming from these displaced B jets, and a Z boson that you can tag with the EE mu mu invariant mass, for example. Oh, and this study that I'm describing here and then the next slide or two is in Magda's master's thesis, and also there's an FCC note on this on CBS. So there's two studies that they've done here, one at the generator level and one at the reconstructed level. So first for the generated level, selecting events with at least one scalar within the acceptance region of the idea detector, basically. And they're requiring that all of the signal points have at least four events, except for the shortest and the longest lifetimes probes. So this table shows you the different, the sensitivity for different masses and mixing angles. And you at the bottom, the right side of the table, you get the expected number of selected events for each of these scenarios. So in addition to the gen level study, they're also working on a RICO level study. So here, you select events with the Z boson and at least two displaced vertices. And the Z boson you tag by getting two oppositely charged electrons or muons within the invariant mass range corresponding to the Z boson. And the displaced vertex is characterized by finding a displaced vertex in the tracker volume, but not in the most innermost region of the tracker in order to reduce background. And the mass of that vertex must be greater than 1 GeV. So again, you can see the sensitivity here for the different, you can see the number of events that you get for each of the background samples. And after all cuts, it's the far right column. So basically zero events in background, given the statistics that are available at the moment, as compared with the different signal points. Again, the far right column shows you after all the cuts are applied. So this gives you an idea of the statistics or the sensitivity of this search. So clearly, we need more background statistics to draw more conclusions. And the analysis of the winter 2023 samples are in progress. And they're also working on updating some choices in the signal model. And the plan for this study is a paper. And I refer you to Magda's talk in the parallel session for more on this analysis. The last study that I wanted to very briefly cover is an inert 2HDM scalar pair production scenario. This is a first look at this study. And basically, in this two Higgs doublet model, you're adding a Z2 symmetry to the 2HDM. And these are the Feynman diagrams that are considered in this search. So you get two leptons and two Higgs bosons in the final state, or the same thing plus some neutrinos. So this study uses 20 benchmark points that are relevant for the FCCEE. That's comes from this paper here. And it targets the ZH stage and is using the winter 2023 samples. So this is a first. First, what they did was to reproduce that a click study, a click cut and count study that was done, and they achieved similar yields, as you can see from this table here. And then on top of that, they added a new BDT selection, particularly designed for the FCC, and they're getting a good significance at the detector level and working on the limits now. And the plan is also to investigate the FCC HH for this study as well. Okay, so with that, I will start to wrap up. So just to say that we have regular meetings, particularly in the LOP group within BSM FCC. So the meeting category is here, and there's a couple of mailing lists. Feel free to join them and join us in general if you're interested. And I point you to the list of other talks on BSM studies that are happening this week at Annecy. And so just to quickly sum up, so a circular Higgs factory like the FCCEE has a rich physics potential and allows us access to direct and indirect searches for new physics. There's many interesting signals we can explore, like heavy neutral leptons, hidden sectors, axion-like particles, and exotic Higgs decays. And the other thing I wanted to make sure to emphasize is that we have the opportunity to design detectors and algorithms with long-lived particles in mind already from the get-go for the FCC. So there's plenty of phase space to explore in the future, and let's make sure that we don't miss direct searches for new physics. Thanks. Okay, I think it was maybe a little long still. I have 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, you clocked in on 22 minutes.
Oh, okay. It could have been worse.
Yeah. I mean, you will probably talk faster when it's time for giving it or so.
Okay, maybe I thought I was already kind of talking fast.
No, I just meant in general that when you're actually on stage, you have or at least I have, maybe not you, a tendency to talk faster and or skip details and so on. So it usually becomes shorter.
Yeah, I already skipped some details. I think I should remove some information on the slides. But okay. Thanks a lot for timing it, Magda. Do people have general comments for me? Which then we can go maybe quickly slide by slide if you like. Anna.
Hi. Wait a second, because I have two windows open.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, very nice talk, Juliet. Very nice. I just have three general comments, and then unfortunately I will need to disconnect because I have another meeting. So the first one was that. So when are you? Because the talk is about BSM, and then you talk a lot about LLPs, but in reality, the talk is about feebly interacting particles, right? I mean, it's not cov I mean, it's not about whatever can be done in BSM on FCCE because it doesn't talk about, I don't know, rare decays, B-physics, these kind of things, and it also is not like dedicated to LLPs alone. So it's about FIPS, and FIPS have the characteristic of being also LLPs depending on the part of the phase space, and that's what the talk covers. So maybe it could be a little bit more explained at the beginning. For example, on slide number 9, where you are presenting, let's say, the thesis that we have done so far, you call them LLP thesis, but for instance, Dimitri's thesis had basically nothing on LLPs inside. So it is more, like the FIPS explorations, I guess, on FCCE.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah,
Yes.
I can write this. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I mean, wherever it becomes relevant, it's just that yeah, for the reasons I said. And I maybe you could also emphasize that FCC will be a unique machine to explore these FIPS because of the nature of being weakly interacting, etc. We can't expect on HH to have sensitivity to this kind of particles as they are so difficult to explore now on the LHC, for example. So, yeah. And then the third point is that you said at some point that LLPs have low attention or like they're not well covered. And maybe by now this is like not really true because I mean, we're giving a lot of emphasis on this also on Hi Lumi. And you know yourself, there are all these exciting new experiments being proposed, and some of them are already running. So,
Yeah.
yeah, this is so maybe it is like more that FCC is going to be really the machine to maybe give given the huge amount of statistics in very clean environments, give really the ultimate answer to this. Because for instance, for HNLs, we are really reaching to the bottom of where we can have sensitivity basically. So maybe these are things that could be pointed out a bit more.
Yeah, indeed. As I was saying it, I was like, oh, that's not really true.
Yeah, but I know this is a hole where you can easily enter when you are talking about this, indeed.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you. This is really helpful. I'm sorry
Okay.
for the rest.
No, it's really great. And then I have just a couple of more specific ones that I will send you via Skype or something
Okay, perfect.
on the
Thanks so
slides. Yeah.
much.
Thanks. And I have to go now, unfortunately.
Okay,
Bye.
thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, then we can quickly go to see if there's other general comments for me.
Generically, if you are short on time, I think we are a bit beyond what we did in a bit beyond the snow mass stuff. We have had it starts being a bit on the old side, and I see you are putting quite a few slides on that, and I think this could be partially cut because we have quite some new material in a sense.
Sure,
This
I
is kind of semi-superseded by the work of the recent Geneva work. for instance.
Yeah, indeed. I think I would at least remove this slide. It, you know, since I'm still 2 minutes over, maybe I should remove this slide 12, at least slide 12. And I think some version of this slide is still nice to.
No, but this has been, there is more recent work than Znomas for that. Yeah, it has been presented quite a, I don't know if this is the most recent to you. Well,
yeah, I think it's the most recent in terms
okay,
of Pilates.
Okay, fine.
Okay, then I probably was just wrong to mention Snowmass when I presented this slide.
Yeah,
so, no, okay. Yeah. Sorry, I will. I was gonna keep going, but I just to check. I don't echo. Think.
Okay. Yes.
Uh-huh. I was just checking for other slides from Snowmass. And I think everything else is updated and past Snowmass. So I would just remove slide 12 at this point.
No, the ALP is probably Snowmass, but there's nothing more on you. So.
Sorry, say again?
ALP is, there's nothing new, so it's okay.
Well, this is a new.
Yeah, no, I mean the direct ALP, the previous slide. That's yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think here I should remove some of this.
But that's okay.
This stuff, so have, which I didn't say it anyways.
We don't have new stuff, basically, but...
Yeah. Okay. The other thing, maybe, is I would have liked, in principle, to mention the neutrino oscillations stuff that the group is, that you all are working on, but I feel like I don't have the time. And anyhow, there's dedicated talks on it. So is it okay?
Yeah, no, it's perfectly okay. Yeah, you could put a line saying there's some kind of how do you say at the end of the heavy neutrino jet. Oh yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. But also a smaller in the HN slides. MuJJ say there is also the see also talk by since we are here. This is a pretty old version of the analysis, actually.
Ah, okay.
This is basically pre-summer version of the analysis. And because the prompt and non-prompt are separated actually now by a cut on the position of the primary vertex. I don't know
I think I got the latest plots, but I think probably the text needs to be updated. Okay.
Yeah, no, I resent you anyway. The it probably would be nice actually instead of having the plot, the theory plot. Also, we have the final plot, the one with all the results.
Okay, can you point me to exactly which one so I make sure not to screw it up?
Yeah, it's. I just sent it. To you the thing, so I should be able to I should be able to tell you which figure is it. It's in the note. In the note is the which I sent you is the is a It's figure 26, actually.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'll get that. Thanks. Okay. Other comments in general? Okay. I think we don't have a ton of time, so maybe I can quickly go through. So my intro slides, I just wanted to sort of set the stage a bit. Any comments, maybe I can ask you if there's any comments on slides, what, 2 through 4?
If it's slide 2, if you are short of time, of course, slide 2 can, given the environment, can be skipped to some extent. It depends.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Since this is not a IHEP where you have you have FCC people, so if you...
Yeah. Indeed, maybe I can.
Yeah, the first three you can compact them a bit more. This is for a they are very beautiful slides, but the environment probably needs a bit less introduction on how nice it is having an FCC.
Okay, sure.
But not this useful because it's where we compare.
Yeah. Okay. I tried to go through LLPs quickly, but I thought it was useful to mention.
Yes. But in a sense, as Anna says, you should say you have the LLP and the prompt, because the fact that we have huge statistics and an electroweak thing, we can beat LHC also for prompt for quite a few prompt signatures. ALPs and HN clearly we can do better for them. So
okay. And here I will change things.
Oh, I just see one thing now. Axel is not a master student.
Oops.
But yeah, he will be working on FCC, but as part of his PhD.
Okay. And he didn't do his master's at Uppsala then? Or
No. He was in Lund. This is his first time working with FCC.
Okay, then I think I will remove him from this list.
Yeah.
Okay. Slide 9. Okay. Everyone else, I'm sure of. Okay. I think this slide is okay. Just kind of, I go through it fast.
I'll show it.
I think I can move some details here. Oh, and since I mentioned.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Yeah. I think this is perfect way.
Yeah. But at the same time that I mentioned the CLD study, I can also mention the neutrino oscillations and say, here's two talks on it.
But they will give a talk on this.
No, sorry. There will be in the parallel sessions. So Niklo's talk and also Jan's talk, I think more from the
theory. I think I was wondering if they also were giving a full sim talk. No, okay.
Where were we? Here.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and also because this the plot on the right, which is the theory plot, the plot the figure 26 I pointed you to is the version now with experimental curves for us.
Okay.
So it's quite.
Okay, great. Thanks. I'll remove the slide.
Sorry, just a comment on this slide for the direct question you ran. Probably you can just add another bullet point that you can say that we utilize metrics, so for example, asymmetries or anchored distributions, where the length of number violation nature can be identified or something like this. I think, I'm not sure if you agree with it, but I think it is important to, just mention it. And also we have, newer plots compared to the what Tanis did. Dimitri produced some plots. I don't think that this will be a huge difference, but you can just use the one, some representative plots from Dimitri's thesis or something. But if you leave it as it is, it's okay for us. Just saying.
Yeah. Okay, sure. No, I can use Dimitri's plots, and I'll add, and I should at least add his name to the slide. I think it's nice to keep Tanisha's name.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. Just, okay. If you add any plot from Dimitri's, it could be good to add his name as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, great. Thanks. Anne-Marie?
Hi. Yes. Hi. Thanks for including our analysis on the 2HDM. Just maybe, do you want to put instead of the right plot with the significance, Do you want to put the shape of the discriminant? I could make the plot nicer with the FCC analysis software.
Oh, okay, sure.
Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe just you can say as well if you prefer to show the BDT with the signal and background, so we see the discrimination in shape, or another variable. The relevant variable. You tell me.
I think both are interesting. So, whichever one you'd prefer to sort of highlight.
Okay. So I will make a couple and send them to you.
That'd be great.
Maybe I will make some advert for the FCC analysis software as well. I don't know.
Great.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Maybe then we go to slide 14 if there's comments on this.
It seems fine for me.
Okay, cool. We already talked about this slide in the next one, I think. Okay, I'm going to remove some details from this slide, but still keep it to introduce axion-like particles, and then highlight Patricia's recent study. I don't see her connected, so presumably. Okay. And then go into exotic Higgs. Again, I was kind of fast, but let me know if there's anything I should change, Magda, for example.
I think it looks good. I mean, it's the old numbers, but the way I put my presentation, I'm presenting the new plots and new numbers for like how many events we have after the final selection. So, this is fine. Like, it's a summary of the notes. So, I guess that's good.
No, that's okay. Sorry, Anne-Marie left. I think it's best if I show sort of the latest and greatest. So can you point me to where I should copy from instead?
Yes, I'll send you. And I also need to check with my Uppsala people if they approve and so on and so forth. But
okay, these are very fresh results. No wonder. Okay.
Yes. But I'll send you as soon as I have it done.
Actually, regarding these analysis, I see that you are putting that they say there's a note in CDS, but I suppose it's not clickable because it's public.
Because we have, I just clicked
we,
on
we
it.
Have, we have one, because we have one also for the heavy neutrino, which is also in CDS, but I still miss final approval as this note does actually.
Ah, okay. Indeed, it says please log in to access this page, and I don't see where I'm allowed to.
So I was
log
wondering
in.
If.
Okay. So then, indeed, instead of this this link, why don't I say both here and for the MUJJ study that, you know, FCC note. I don't know. How should I write it? In CDS or in progress?
No, FCC note, let's say, or under approval or something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. FCC note under approval.
Actually, another thing which I don't know if it's public is if there is the midterm document, otherwise you could refer to it as well.
Right.
Because there is a significant BSM contribution, including the work of Magda and the work of Nicola and myself. So,
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, but I don't know if it is public.
Yeah, I haven't seen it being public, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know.
But you should mention that at the beginning, you say that this work has contributed to the... into the midterm document.
Yeah, indeed. I think I should write that on slide 9.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Okay. Then anything in the closing slides?
No, that's okay. Well, there is also talk by myself about measuring the heavy neutrino with timing, which which is more tech. It's about timing, where the heavy neutrino is the example, the benchmark I use. But
okay, I think I've got the link to your talk here. Okay, great. Any last comments? Otherwise, I think we should probably move on to practicing Magda's talk. I hope people have at least a few people have time to stay.
But okay. Excellent talk, anyway.
Oh, thanks. I don't know yet, but eventually it will be okay.
No, it was very great. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Okay, so Magda, do you want to share your slides? And I can time you. I think also have 20 minutes, right?
Yeah, I have 20 minutes, but I was thinking of like not practicing the talk now, just flip through the slides, if that's okay.
Oh, sure.
Because I'm a bit short of time afterwards, and I still maybe will rearrange my slides if you have input on it.
Okay, sure.
I'll just tell you how I think I will present it, and then let's see. Okay, can you see my slides?
Yes.
Perfect. So my talk has been moved from like a parallel BSM session to the parallel Higgs session after your talk, Juliet.
Okay. So
I thought I was like thinking of starting with introducing what LLPs are. Maybe it's a bit of an overflow with information. So like LLPs and then why search for them. And how it's done at Collider. So it's quite an overlap with what you're doing, but I thought it was kind of a good introduction for Higgs people in case they're there.
Yeah. I could see it going either way. Let's see if you have too much material, in which case, I mean, if you find you've got you practice the talk and it's too long, then you can maybe reduce part of this. But you will present it in a different way than me, and you know the Higgs people indeed wouldn't necessarily know it. So I would say you could probably keep it to first order.
Yeah, nice. I've done 15 slides, so I think hopefully I will end up at 15 minutes, and then there's some time for questions as well afterwards. But okay, some introductions to LLPs and why we should search for them, how it's done at Collider, so the kind of different signatures presenting here, similar figure that you have, the benefits and some challenges, and why FCC offers good opportunities for searching for LLPs. That LLPs in general, then I move on to kind of present how we get long-lived particles from exotic Higgs decays, in particular, long-lived scalars. So the model we're using, how it's motivated by BSM, like solving dark matter with the dark sector here, how the Lagrangian looks like, introducing the mixing angle and the partial width to see how we get the long-lived signature. Quite similar to my earlier presentations. Moving on to the specific case of FCC-EE, so the kind of process we're targeting and that the set H stage is relevant. Maybe I'll include the energy here.
Yeah, either way.
And the experimental signature. And then how we did with the simulation, so using the full chain. And now, as I put my presentation now, I'm presenting the latest, so doing the signal simulation with the winter 2023 IDL Delphs card, which is an update from what's in the note and what was in my thesis. We'll see if I'll keep it this way and present these plots, or if I'll more do a summary of the note and then just in the end add that we're working with an update with the winter 2023. None of the Uppsala people could come today, so I get their input as well. I'll send the slides to them. But yes, similar picture that you had, but also a link to analysis code for exotic Higgs decays and where we have the samples. This is more of a workshop in case people want to look into it in more detail afterwards. This is just specifications about the signal. So in particular, I will beautify this slide. But yeah, the parameters we're looking at, so the two ends of the mass spectrum and the different mixing angles, and then the new kappa value. It's just introduction, and then a plot of the generated time distributions for the samples. Usually, like how I had it before, I had two plots, so one separated for each mass point, so 20 GeVs in one plot and then 60 GeVs in another. Now I put them in the same, but I was thinking, is it clear that you kind of see this statement that lifetime increases for Smalling mixing angle and smaller masses? Or would it be more clear to put it in two plots? Do you have any opinion?
I don't. Do others?
Okay, then I will think about it. Maybe keep
it. Sure. See what Rebecca thinks, and Julia.
Sounds good. So that was the generated lifetime distribution. Going on, describing a bit about the DV reconstruction, how we did it, with links to the appropriate references. Nothing new. And then plots how the generated killings looks like, and then what we get from the reconstructed DVs. So one thing I've noticed in this plot is that we have two times the amount of reconstructed DVs. This was not the case in spring 2021 samples. Not fully sure what's going on, if I'm accidentally plotting, not like if I'm plotting did it twice per event, but I'm not sure, so I need to look it up as well as change the scale. But if
and a quick question is before selection, is that accurate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Should be, yes. So no selection at all applied here.
Okay.
And then here, move on to the event selection. So selecting events with a set boson, at least two DVs, summarized here in this table, as well as the vertex selections and why we require the different distances of the DVs and charge invariant mass.
So you're jumping right into the RICO level study.
Yeah.
So okay. Were you going to present the gen level study in
this talk?
Okay.
I didn't think so.
Okay.
This is the new numbers with the reconstructed events for the signal only, not the tables. So,
sorry, Magda, question on the previous slide, if I may. Here you're saying on the bottom right, you have to update another plot. I didn't understand. Or you have to replace the plot that you have.
I need to replace it. So I have a new plot, but then I have all the mass samples plotted.
Okay, good. But it's the same, right? The environment mass of the...
Yeah, it looks exactly the same. Okay. It's just to be like fully correct.
Yeah, sorry.
No worries. It's nice. Yes, sensitivity analysis. So this is the new type of table. One odd thing is that we actually have more events after the final selection now compared to when we did it with the spring 2021 card. And we should expect a bit less because kappa is smaller. However, there's a lot of changes, not only winter 2023, but FCC analysis replaced the vertex reconstruction. And I moved from working with the cross sections to working with the number of events when I normalized to get these events. But this is perhaps more of a question for Julia.
Okay. Yeah, I think if I were you, I would sort of check sort of each of these changes when they go in the cut flow and see if the change there makes sense. You know what I mean? Because to sort of factorize all of these changes and not just look at the final number.
Yeah, I saw that we're actually keeping, we have more events after the pre-selection now than we had before. And the pre-selection is just requiring two oppositely charged leptons.
Okay, yeah, I think if I were you, I would look at those distributions of, number of leptons and see, from the old version and the new version and see what changed.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Then moving on to check the background studies with some updates from Axel. So here's one plot. Let's see if we get another one with all the selections applied until next week. But for now, just mentioning that we're have moved on to 2023, where we have more statistics and also can work with exclusive decays and some examples of the processes that we're looking at. And then a summary.
Okay, but sorry, the previous slide, essentially this plot is input to the results you showed on the slide on slide 13, I guess, right? So maybe you want to put it sort of more in order, like before this slide, which is kind of your results.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I don't mention the backgrounds here, and this is background, but
I
yes,
see.
usually it goes before the sensitivity analysis.
Okay. Well, I think basically you have a couple of things you need to agree on within your group of what exactly you will show, and then it will be smoother.
Yep.
Yeah. But okay, nice.
Should I mention that Mark and Luis are incoming to join, or is that just
We'll check with them if they're comfortable with you writing that. Because I'm not sure yet if they are doing their own studies sort of in parallel with you, or if they're really working with you, they're planning on working with you closely. Maybe you have a better sense of it.
Yes.
Yeah, I would basically just check in with them. Okay, other comments for Magda? But I think you have less slides than I do, so you will probably make it in closer to 20 minutes. But if you practice and you see that you're running over, you can probably condense the first couple of slides, like 2 through 4 or whatever they were.
Yeah, thanks. That sounds good.
Any other comments? I mean, not necessarily on Magda's talk, but in general, in at least in preparation for next week. Okay. Well, then I think that's about it. So thanks a lot, Magda, and everyone for connecting and giving us both comments. And looking forward to seeing many of you next week.
Thank you, Juliet.
Thanks
See
for the
you.
input.
Bye.
You.